Asked the kasha, I'd assumed that nechnasu tzvaros, the kismin v'sidke raglav, meant that there were cracks in the skin of your feet, and there were stones that went into the cracks. I think you had the kasha from Rav Moshe that created, based on starms, like the hole in a tooth from a filling of a cavity, is not a base of starm. So if you look at the Chai Adam, as well as the Avnei Nezer, both quoted by the Bade HaShulchan, he actually understood it the way Yoni understood it, sorry, Yitzi understood it, which is that it's in between the toes, and that would resolve the problem for Rav Moshe. Though it would create another problem for Rav Moshe, because it's hard to imagine that it's really mistabich, exactly. In other words, that stones are like so sticky in between your toes that it would be a basis darm type a chatzitza for Rav Moshe. I guess it's possible, but that seems unlikely. So it sounds like it's basis darm, though. Now, there's another issue, actually, that the Avnei Nezer raises, which is, he's bothered by a different question, that in Hilchos Negayim, we say that the area between the toes is considered galoy, it's not beis hastarim. And over here, we seem not to be assuming that way. So how do you resolve that? So if you actually read that nechnesu tzroos v'kismen zidke raglav, like I read it, then that wouldn't be akasha. The Avnei Nezer himself does not answer that question. Yeah?
We're going to have a tongue, though. I think I mentioned that earlier, but the Tosfos Yom Tov has some chiluk lagabe the tongue, the gabe negia, the gabe tumen could be a different hagara
right.
As opposed to the gabe here.
So, yeah, I don't know enough about negayim to...
Not negayim, I'm sorry, the gabe magabe sastern, that he says the gabe sastern could be done to the nimba, the gabe tumen is done to the...
Well, this is a little different. In other words, here, where the stira that the Avnei Nezer is bothered by is in terms of negayim, where a nega appears, that it's only a nega on a makom galui.
I'm saying you can point out that sometimes the same part of the body can be tefshav.
Right. The question is that a chiluk that makes sense. So as I said, I don't know enough. The Avnei Nezer did not. I mean, he left off with akasha, but maybe that would be a derech to answer the question. Yes.
The only reason we would think to say it's based on is because the shach said so, but it doesn't. Like you're not forced to say that, especially if you've got a Mishnah Gemara saying it's galui.
Doesn't the source call it basis darm?
I don't know.
Look back at the Beis Yosef. I think that's what it said. Okay. Onwards. Sif mem vav. So we say in the Gemara, nida me'aremes v'tovalis b'vigadeha. A nida could go to the mikvah while dressed. Obviously, we're talking here about clothing that are loose enough that don't present a chatzitza. Now, if you look at the lashon of the Rambam and also the Mechaber, it's a lashon of bidyaved. Nida shatavla b'vigadeha mutaris labayla. So, an interesting question is why is this only mutaris bidyaved? The Gemara doesn't necessarily sound like it's bidyaved. So, if you look at the Ramah at the beginning of our siman, you could understand why. It would only be bidyaved, because the Rama said that we don't even wear loose things while going to the mikvah. But what's the pshat in the Mechaber and the Rambam? If you look at the Rush, it sounds a little bit like it's mutar l'chatchila. And if you take a look at the Eshkol, he writes that, in fact, this is an Eitz HaTova. If a woman has to do tevila in a place where she might be seen, so then she should dafka be toveles in her clothing. I don't know why, what the pshat is in the Mechaber and the Rambam, in terms of why it's bidyaved. This is a discussed question in terms of gerim, or specifically giores. So one would think that a good eitzah for the beis din to allow the woman to be tovelis, at least for a Sephardi beis din, question whether Ashkenazi bate dinim, whether the minhag of the Rama applies to geiros or like. But at least that you could be, she could be tovelas b'vigadeha, right? But again, and you have to get back to why the Rambam uses this lashon of bidyavet. The RCA based in has this like poncho that she wears that covers the whole mikvah, like her head goes through the top. So that's another way to solve the problem. Okay, sif mem zayin. So the Darkei Moshe quotes a rokeach that says when you have lice that are stuck to her skin at the place of the hair, and you can't get them out. So it says, first you should try to get them out. Tzarech lasiran adeachamen, ulgoran betziporan. But if you can't, so then it's good enough. It's not chotzeitz. But, technically speaking, but then he says, aval betfila heim asurim mishom chumra. What does that mean, bottom line, lamaisa? It means you should try your best to get them out. And, you know, if you can't get everything out, that's good enough. But try your best. I'll tell you a funny story. My kids got lice about, I think, 2 summers ago. Like all my kids. And it's like a disaster. We couldn't get them out. We tried and we tried. And we even went to, after failing, to this, like, professional lice removers that charged a lot of money. And they couldn't do it. I mean, they said they did it, but they didn't. Came back a couple days later. So we were like at a, you know, the kids couldn't go to school. So somebody said, there's this lady in Borough Park who does it. She charged like much, much less than the professionals. And she mamish got it out in the first try in like a quarter of the time. So she told us, you know, what's her chop? She says, well, I was a volunteer at the mikveh lady, and that's one of the things that you have to do occasionally, check for lice and remove them. So I learned how to do it. Said, now, I support my husband from my lice checking business. I have 7 daughters who support 7 sons-in-law, all from lice checking, just because I started with the mitzvah of volunteering to be a mikveh lady. So when I saw this Darkei Moshe, I thought of her. So the Shaila, though, is like this. Is the pshat that it's because she's not makpedis? In other words, why is it that if you can't get them out, then mikradin, the lice, are not a chatzitza? Is it pshat that, look, even though, of course, I would love for these lice to disappear. I don't think anybody likes having lice in their hair. But once it's impossible to get them out. So basically, that's enomakbid. That's the definition. Now, if that was the pshat, then theoretically, if it was rov seyar, it would be aser. In other words, we're saying that this is a chatzitza, but it's a chatzitza that's not makpedes. Or do we say no? That since it's so hard to get them out, they're batel. Maybe they become like a chelak of your guf, it's like a chelak of your hair. That's just, you know, and then maybe you could even argue that rov seyar would be okay. Now, if you take a look at the Gra says like this, kevan de revisehu ve'ena makpedes. So maybe the pshat is, so why does he need to come on to revise? So maybe the pshat is because ena makped alone wouldn't be enough, because lemaisa you want it gone. Right? This gets back into the discussions we had before about bandages and other things. Lamaisa, you wish these lice would disappear. And that's why he has to come on to revise. Or maybe that it's literally revise, and therefore it would work even if it's rove. Now, I'm not sure what revise means. Does revise mean that because it's spontaneous generation, like these grow out of your hair, that's what revise means? Or not, I wasn't sure. Yeah?
The Chor, this is the Gimel she talks up from the Merlin, because over there, it's the Kofenir Gimel, he said they also came and she gave the last year in the Revisa.
Ah, very good. So in other words, this is correct, this is the same, and I think over there we brought that in, right? This is the same thing as the Merlikin.
There's no Sakana here.
Well, that's the question. The question is, do you need Sakana to make a Revisa? See, over there it's a little different, because over there you could remove them, it's just a Sakana, which is what makes it revise. Over here, you can't remove them, though there's no sakana, just it's impossible, which also would make them revise. Be that as it may, that's what the Gra says. A more common question is, Baruch Hashem, I think most people, when they do get lice nowadays, they can remove the lice, as the lady from Borough Park showed us, and we would therefore want her to get the lice out before going to the mikvah. So this particular example isn't really going to be so relevant today. But what about dandruff? And the problem with dandruff is, if you have a bad case of dandruff, that you can't really get it out. The more you try sometimes, if you try to like pick out your dandruff, the more dandruff you'll end up with. So therefore, lemaisa, we assume that whatever's left after you wash your hair, do your best job to, you know, get your anti-dandruff shampoo, wash out your hair, and whatever's left, we assume, is ena makbid. And even if you are makbid, the Shevet Alevi says, because you can't get it off, just like we said this far for lice. This is also a little more cal, because could be dandruff is not tight. In other words, the water could get underneath the dandruff and the like. It's not like these lice. Now, an interesting question that comes up is, what about, we said before, whatever, you know, you get off what you could ever get off, right? So that's always what you do, right? Even if you're getting all dressed up to go to a wedding, so you get off, you know, you shampoo, you get off whatever you can, and the rest is, it is what it is, right? What about, though, if you're being tovel after 1 or 2 days from the time you shampoo? So now, there's been an accumulation of dandruff, which is really much more than you're comfortable with. Would we allow you to go to the mikveh at that point? In other words, under normal circumstances, it's not an issue. For Friday night tefillah, for weekday night tefillah, for Motzei Shabbos tefillah, it's fine. You just go to you shampoo, you get off whatever you get, it comes off, and then that's it. But if it's 2 or 3 days, let's say 1 or 2 days, so then it's not so pashut what the halacha is. The Badi HaShulchan is unsure what the halacha would be in that case. Again, assuming that you would normally be makbid to shower at this point. Part of the question is, do we think that water could get under the lice or not? Yes, Donnie.
Based on you, the two spires that we said, what's the shah in the titulus fumna or bedma? Why is it any different? So
the Pisri Chuvas is like this. Which Pisri Chuva?
Chafhei.
Ein al chotzi. It's kind of saying chamodi daniel. Near the ocean, kinem a ketan and meis, and I'd look at the sayar, tzarech lasir and davi chatzitza. So what's the pshat in the chamodi daniel? Could it be it's not Revise anymore? If I knew what Revise was, I could perhaps better approach that question. That's what I'm saying. I'm not sure what the Gra means by Revise. I think of a couple of possibilities. The other possibility is that you're more makbid about dead lice. That's more gross. Live lice, okay. There's
a
I hear. Would you rather a dead mouse in your head or a life? Fine. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the Sfar of the Chamudi Daniel is. I'll try to look it up. Okay. Sif Mem Ches. So, this talks about tefillah b'kavana. The Mechaber says you don't need kavana. The Ramah says that those are machmirim. This question comes back to a Gemara in Chulin, where Rabbi Yochanan and Rav disagree about tefillah b'kavana on Daf Lamed Aleph. Lamed Aleph. Rav says, Tahor Levesa v'asur lachol betruma, nida v'nensa v'tabla. And Rabbi Yochanan says, Af Levesa lo tahira. So there's a long shakta v'tari over there. The Gemara eventually asks, So what's very interesting is we compare tefillah below kavana to shchita below kavana. V'aminan man tana delaybay kavana l'shchita amar rava Rabbi Nasani. So b'shchita afil Rabbi Yochanan Afilu Rav Yonos Ben Yosef, Medigali Rachmana Misasi, Bekashem Basel, Mechlal Dechulen, Lo Bein HaKavana Rabbanan, Nidu Bein HaKavana Lezvicha, Lechaticha Ba'inan. So then the Gemara, after addressing that question, says, Hei Chidami Nida Shenen Tzaratala, what does it actually mean? This whole discussion where Rav and Rav Yochanan are disagreeing. Ilema, Da'ansa Chaverta, Da'atbila, Kavana Da'chaverta, Kavana Ma'al Yisahi. So the Gemara, interestingly enough, takes for granted that Kavan of somebody else would work, right? Another perplexing Pisrei Tshuva that I don't understand, once we're on that topic, is the Pisrei Tshuva on this, who says that Kavanas Chaverta would work, but not a man. I don't know why that would make a difference. That's in Pisrei Tshuva Chafches. But anyway, so Rav Papa says, Shenafla minagasher l'rabanan shiarda l'haker. Okay. So here we have this machlokas about Midish and Hansa v'tavla. So what is at the root of this machlokas? What are they really arguing about? So the Hagos HaShri, B'Shem the Or Zeruah in Rosh Hashanah, says a very fascinating thing. It's on the Rosh in Rosh Hashanah, Per Gimel, Simen Yud Aleph. And he writes that this is taloi in the machlokas about mitzvos, whether or not mitzvos tzvichos kavana or lo tzvichos kavana. There's a stir in Hagos HaShri here, but it's not a problem because one's from the Ma'arich and one's on Yor Zeruah, between the one in Chulin and the one in Rosh Hashanah. Anyway, so what does he mean? What does this have to do with mitzvos tzvichos kavana or enam tzvichos kavana? It seems like he's assuming that tefillah is a mitzvah, and according to the Mandamer, mitzvos tzvichos kavana, so tefillah would need kavana. And therefore, Yarda Lahaker would not be a valid tefillah. The problem is that the Hemshech of the Gemara is very hard to understand according to that, because over there, for example, it says Kavanas Chavera works, and the Gemara says it's Talui in the Machlokas by Shchita. And their Machlokas is basically, it's a Machlokas whether you need Kavana for the Maisa, or is it enough if it just, if you cause the knife to fall, right? It doesn't seem to have anything to do with the machlokas about mitzvos tzvichos kavana or not. So Avi had the following suggestion. He said, it's not the pshat in the Or Zeruah that this is identical to the question of mitzvos tzvichos kavana, but it's the same issue, which is, do you need to define an act, or do you need intent to define the act? Right, Lamashal, there's a famous, idea from Rabbi Chanan. Chanan writes that if you hold mitzvos tzvichos kavana, then without kavana, it's not simply that you don't fulfill the mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah, right? So we have a single machlokas. The machlokas is, you need kavana to divine an act. One nafgamina is for mitzvos. Mitzvos trichos kavana or not. If you hold mitzvos trichos kavana, you need that additional layer of kavana to define this as a mitzvah. Intent to fulfill the mitzvah is a not just awareness of what you're doing, but intent to fulfill the mitzvah is necessary to define this act as a mitzvah. So that's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina is the Gemara in Chulin. It's a nafkamina for a matir. Namely, when it comes to a matir, like shchita or tevila, those are the two questions discussed over there, so there, the kavana is just awareness. In other words, you don't have to kavana, it's not like kavana of mitzvos, like kavana l'shem shamayim or the like, that's not what it means. It's awareness, right? And that's really what the Gemara is discussing over there. What level of awareness do you need to have in order for it to be a valid tefillah? And Rabbi Yochanan requires one, additional level of awareness, above the level of Misasek, to define this as an act of tefillah. That's perhaps what the Or Zeruah understands it. The Ramban, though, in Chulin over there disagrees explicitly with this Or Zeruah, and he writes, no, even if you generally hold mitzvos lo tzrichos kavana, you could even argue that over here you need it. Why? Because here it's a machshir. The lashon over there, the Ramban is v'had pligi rav Reb Yochanan betfila shelo bekavana u'pligi tanai b'shchita dafka b'mitzvos halalu shein matirin v'yesh ban hechshir l'davar acher. Since it's a matir, it's a hechshir l'davar acher. So therefore, it is different. And he goes on to argue that the two machloksen are totally independent of each other. You could go each way in one case and the opposite way in the other case. De lamar machshirin kilin tfei, de bimaisa talenu rachmana, v'ha'is avid lei, teda, de hanafla menagasher, tahay relevesa, le rav, v'ilum esasek, betkia, le devei hakol, lo yatsa, right? The point that we were making before in the Yehor Zeruah, which is that what's considered kavana in each case is different. Kevan de lo mechanin l'tzkiya klal, right? Over here, you don't need kavana latzeis, you know, yidei mitzvah. You just need awareness of what you're doing. For a mitzvah, everybody agrees that, and one opinion says misasek is good enough, and the other opinion says you need awareness. For a mitzvah, everybody agrees that misasek is invalid. Ulamar afilu yard lahakir lo tahara v'dilma b'tokei l'shir sfir le'yata. So what is this tzad that the Ramban is saying? That even if you hold mitzvos einan tzrichos kavana, but you need kavana l'tfila, right? The Ramban says that's because it's a matir. But what exactly is he saying? Why is it that because something is a matir, you need kavana? So l'chayra, this far is like this, that when it comes to a matir, maybe the maisa on its own is not significant. It's just a matir. It's just to get to something else. And therefore, if you don't define it, then it's not doing anything. Right? Let's take the mitzvah to compare it to. When it comes to a lulav, a mitzvah, so the Torah says that netilas lulav is an independently significant act. So therefore, even if I don't infuse this with kavana, but it's an independently significant act, and that's why you could be yotze, even without kavana, as long as you're not misasik. Whereas, when it's a matir, it's me who has to give these acts significance, because they're not valuable in and of themselves, only to accomplish something else. That's what the Ramban stresses. Since it's just a, his lashon is hechsher ledavar acher, or what we're calling a matir, right? Since it's just in order to get to something else, it's not valuable and significant in its own right. It's just something that's a hecha timtza to get somewhere else. So therefore, you could argue that it has no value without my awareness and without my giving it that value. Now, that svara isn't so intuitive. The other way is more intuitive. But we also should keep in mind that Rabbi Yochanan does require a pasuk for it. A pasuk to teach us that, I guess, the svara is correct. And the other tzad, of course, is more intuitive, that it's not a mitzvah unless I intend to do it as a mitzvah. Okay. There's a lot of interesting lamdas here. We're not going to go into it now. Questions in terms of tefillah and the like. For example, is tefillah a maisa, or is tefillah just being in the mikvah that causes the tahara? A lot of interesting questions that might also be related to this. Yes?
It's a pragmatic question.
Uh-huh.
Even if that were kosher, if she jumps off something, she's going to have something going wrong with the tefillah. So isn't it very strange to be matir when she's yad al-hakir? Like, who says all the prophet have been fulfilled? It seems unlikely.
You mean because it wasn't tekedach
de-lasa?
If it is, it is. You're right. Unless you were... If she did, if we could not be certain that was true, let's say she was going with someone else, or she yard de la haker, and she jumped down to the 10-foot bottom of the pool, and whatever. So, obviously correct. In other words, we as we talked about last time, the tefillah would not be valid unless we were 100% certain she was 100% under. No. You don't have to make up no xeros. Yes?
Is it possible to tzush el bim il tzaka and say that since her tuma is something which is created because she's master herself, the tuma, then in order to be master herself, you need to do the opposite?
The tuma is created because she's master herself, the tuma?
Il tzaka says that even if she was really tahora, but since she was master herself, the tuma, because she is in her shape.
That's a different thing. That's a question of how do you define naki. This time there's tefillah. Let's say she's a nida. She doesn't need yamim nikiyim, right? Okay. Okay. So, lahastir tefillasa comes up over here as well. Take a look at the Darkei Moshe also in Kuf Tzadi Zayin Sifkat and Vav. What's the makor for this idea that a woman going to the mikvah should try to be masdir tefilasa. So if you take a look at the Tshuvas Marshal, which is quoted here by the Nosei Kelim, he writes the following. The source is a Gemara in Ketzad Me'abrin, Nun Hei Amid Beis, and the Lashon Marshal is like this. Vatsnuos Mizbaishos Gam Mizbaishos Gam Midas Chasidus Biyadam Lahasdir Atfila Kasher Yasad Amikubal Agadol Baal Rokeach. So, what's the source for this? The Rokeach made it up. The Rayaso, but his proof is based off of a Gemara. Mehade Aminan Perek Ketzad Me'abrin Albanos Yoshve Tzrifin Amru Sholchevim Behema Mepnei Shemargishim B'Tvila. The Gemara over there says that these women would go to the mikvah out of town, in the Yoshve Tzrifim, these out of town places, and people would know that they're going. And it says about that, Arur Sholchevim Behema. V'af Rashi Shapiresh Mepnei Sheyesh Rasha Sherodef Achareim U'Misyachad Imahem Lefi Shemakom HaTvila Rachok Be'an. Meaning to say, if you interpret that Gemara according to Rashi, then it's not really a Raya, because the Gemara over there says basically that there was a concern. What happened was that the men, these wicked men, would find out where they were going, and they would be Misyachad with them, because they'd have to be alone going to the mikvah and the like. So then it's not a general raya. Can't be a raya for this general idea to be masdir tefilasa. But he says, achein, yesh kama panim latorah, v'nucha nami lefarish misham tznios, shelo yazunu enei ha'am bahen. So it's still an issue of tznios, that people shouldn't like look at you when you're going to the mikvah and think, oh, you know, look where she's going, and the like. So basically what he's saying is that according to Rokeach, there is a Makor in Shas, because he reads that Gemara as informing us that anytime somebody knows you're going to the mikvah, it's Arur Sholchevim Behema. The way Rashi reads it is not necessarily a Makor, but still it's a matter of tznius. In other words, it's appropriate thing anyway, even if there's no Makor in Shas. If you look also, the Gra over here in our Siman cites this very same Gemara in Erevin on Hamid Beis as this source. Fine. Now, the question that practically comes up, obviously, it's, you know, under normal circumstances, one should follow this, and the woman should be master tefilasa, right, as opposed to what we noted before, that let's say that she is a nida, that's not something that you have to hide, right? Again, in the days of the Gemara, they used to wear even big nidas. Okay, nowadays we don't really do that, but it's not a lack of tznius if she does something that will allow other people to figure out she's a nida, like not pass something to her husband or the like. That's not a lack of tznius, but it is a lack of tznius to allow people to figure out that it's your leil tefila. So that's the halacha. The question is, how far do you have to go to avoid this? In other words, what if you're not going to, it's not like the Gemara in Erevin, that like the whole city is going to figure out, or a bunch of people, one person will figure out, a babysitter will figure it out, your next door neighbor, your parents, your in-laws, right? You're not going to tell them, obviously, but somebody goes to their parents for Shabbos, and their daughter never goes out Friday night to visit friends. And all of a sudden, this Friday night epis, she wants to go out and visit friends. So, of course, nobody's going to say anything. You know, it seems reasonable that her mother might figure out where she's going. So, is that something that you have to worry about? Or no, that's not what we're talking about here. What are we talking about here? That she shouldn't, you know, advertise when she's walking to the mikvah. Hey, I'm walking to the mikvah. But if your mother figures it out, so that's not what this halacha is talking about. So look at the Ba'ei Shulchan, and also in the Biurim and the Shevet Alevi, and also in the Biurim and the Ba'ei Shulchan on Sif Chav Dalet, they say the following shaila. Is it, let's say, she refuses to eat meat, then people will figure out she's going to the mikvah. Right? Everybody's eating meat at a meal. Everybody knows she likes meat. And so her lack of eating meat, a lot of times anyway, these are Suda's mitzvah, so it might be okay anyway. Thanksgiving, a perfect example, right. Thanksgiving. That's another raya not to have Thanksgiving. So if she doesn't eat turkey, some people, her mother is going to figure out that some people will figure out. So is that a reason not to eat meat? So the Shevet HaLevi and the Badi HaShulchan say no. You shouldn't eat meat just in order for people not to figure it out. And that's because the Iker Isser is that Shiargishu Bishas Halicha La Mikvah. And they make that diak from the Gra a little bit as well. Like based off of this Gemara Erevin, the Iker Isser is that when she's going to the mikvah, people shouldn't be able to figure out she's going to the mikvah. People, notice she's not eating turkey. And therefore, they figure it out. That's not what the Isser said. They do, by the way, though, say, where the Badi Shulchan writes, that if she's going to be very embarrassed, then you could be Mekel. Because that then you could apply Kavod HaBrios. And then she could eat meat for that reason. Obviously, then she should make sure to floss very well. But as we've already seen, there are many exceptions to the meat rule anyway. So if she'd be embarrassed. But if she's worried she's not worried about being embarrassed, but she's worried about the issue of being mastir tefilasa, so then they say that's not a good enough reason, because, like we said, the Iker Isser is b'shas halicha la mikvah. But on the other hand, if it were a situation where people would figure it out, b'shas halicha la mikvah, so then there are some poskim that are very machmir. The Chuvas Marshal, that I just mentioned before, it's quoted in the Shach's Kuf Tzadi Tassif, Katan Vav. And there are even poskim that say that you shouldn't go to the mikvah at all. That's the psak of the Mari Asad. It's quoted in the Darkei Tshuva. Mari Asad says, you should be mevatel tefilas mitzvah mishum sneis. Again, it's not talking about where one person is going to figure it out. Two people are going to figure it out. It means that if by going to the mikvah at night, b'shas halicha, people will figure it out. Right? That's one of the reasons why, ideally, when communities build mikvahs, they should have that consideration in mind. It's not always easy. But that's the opinion of Mir Asad. Not everybody accepts the Mir Asad. The Beis She'arim, also quoted in the Darkei Tshuva, disagrees with the Mari Asad. He says, no, that we're not docha tefilas mitzvah for this. That's the psak of Rav Avadia. He quotes others that are cholek. But others do. The Shevet HaLevi paskins like the Mari Asad. Mistabra kivasei. But again, only when it's a real piercing of L'chol Ha'ir, not where...
L'chol Ha'ir, what does that mean? What's the
gedge? I don't think it means L'chol Ha'ir mamish,
but... Everyone's eating, 30 people for Yom
Tov,
everyone else.
Nah!
That's not
L'chol
Ha'ir.
And that's not... It doesn't have to be 30 people figure it out also. You could do better than that. I'm not saying you could avoid your mother figuring it out, but there's no reason why 30 people have to figure it out. No, that's not halicha l'mikvah. That's if you're gonna be machmir to push it off. I think not even sure we accept the Mari Asad, but havudul alotzif. It's only in the case when they're going to be margishim, when there's going to be a public, Everybody's going to... The only time the mikvah is open is when Minchat Maariv is going on at Shul, and it's in the same building, and everybody's going to figure it out. So then, that's when the Mari Asad, and some posts would accept that, say, should be Doha. But not less than that. Now, probably the most common variation of this question is, do you miss Tefillah B'Tzibur to go to the mikvah? What's the question when a couple has a child? So there's two options. So we talked about last year that some communities have late tefillahs and the like. On the summer, you could avoid this also. The husband could make an early Shabbos. Sometimes, like here in Washington Heights, The tefillah, the mikvah is only open for a short period of time on Friday nights. And oftentimes it turns out that there's two options. Either she can drop the baby off at the next door neighbor, and the husband will be able to daven Ma'ariv B'tzibur, and the neighbor obviously isn't going to say anything, but probably will figure things out. Or no, the husband should stay home from shul, miss tefillah b'tzibur, and the wife will go to the mikvah. So the contemporary poskim debate this issue. The Chut HaShani, and Rabbi Forst quotes this as well on page 366, says you should be mevatel tefillah b'tzibur. If you follow the logic of the Sheva Levi, and others make this point that no, this isn't really the halacha, because lahaster tefillasa means, again, b'halicha lemikva public or the like, or next to a neighbor, figuring things out is not begadir lahaster tefillasa, and therefore why should you miss tefillah b'tzibur? Rabbi Willig Lemaisa says you should stay home from shul, even if you marav b'tzibur, and the like. So Rav Willig says you should miss tefillah b'tzibur. So does that mean that you can't go to your parents or in-laws for Shabbos if it's the Leil Tevilah? Because they'll figure it out, or at least your mother-in-law will figure it out. So the answer is, if you could go another week, so you should go the other week. That's for sure true. Pick a different week. But if there's a reason you have to go this week, your brother's home from Eretz Yisrael for this Shabbos, or whoever's, your grandmother's 98th birthday, and everybody's going to, it's a big deal to be there for Shabbos, so then you could still go for Shabbos. And you do your best. You do your best. Okay. Another, yes?
So I'm just curious over Willis's reasoning behind both Dinam is because we tackle
all this. Yeah, Ma'ariv B'tzibur is not... This is a sufficient grounds to miss tefillah b'tzibur for Ma'ariv, but if it's a big deal to be there for Shabbos, that's a big deal, right? Your grandmother's only gets 198th birthday, and your whole family comes together. And again, if it's not, if like nobody cares if you miss the 98th birthday, so then don't. But you should go if you need to, and you shouldn't be docha the Leil Tevilah because of that. And you do your best to keep it. I think a lot of times also people assume that everybody's going to figure it out, and they don't necessarily figure it out. Everybody always, Rabbi Willig mentioned that his Rebbetzin was the mikveh lady, or one of the mikveh ladies. So whenever she would come back from... So there's very frequent times, like several times a month she would be coming back from the mikveh. And she was never embarrassed. But whenever she went back from the mikveh, like she went to the mikveh herself, she always kept extra bags of groceries in the car. So that way, when she came back from the mikveh, she would come in with bags of groceries. So it's the same coming in, right? it's banish from the mikveh, right? That's the way people are. You shouldn't, even though we tend to assume, everybody's going to figure it out. It's probably not true. Not everybody is thinking about it as much as you're thinking about it. Yeah?
It's supposed to give them a ladder to eat meat, but...
That's for Kavod HaBrios, not to be mastier.
I don't know if there's any specific eitza, but let's say she says, everyone's going to know, I can't go to the mikveh. What do the poskim say? You should, tell her not to move on to obviously the tefillah.
We talked about that before.
She's deadly embarrassed. And
I think if she's deadly embarrassed, so yeah,
It's obviously not ideal. I'm just wondering what's the.
That's we discussed that. We discussed that under what circumstances could you be mevatel to leil tefillah. So be'etzem it's usher. If both parties agree. Right, if both parties don't agree, it's aser. Both parties agree, so then there's mechila that works for the ona component. What about the puruvu component? So you're not allowed to be mevatel puruvu, but going to the mikvah one night later isn't necessarily a bitul puruvu. Right, it's not obvious that that it's less likely to become pregnant if you have tashmish the next night than the first night. So if going to the mikvah would be very, even if it's because it would, to use your lashon, she would be deadly embarrassed. So if she'd be deadly embarrassed, then that's, you know, try to talk her into not being deadly embarrassed. But if that's the reality, then I think there's makom to be mako.
How can we use a sort of statement one night not?
Yeah, but I'm saying it, so that's true. To be mevatel puravu laila achas. So, but this isn't necessarily betel puravu laila achas.
But by definition,
it's not, because mumecha tesi.
That
was the point, was that there were many people that were, by Yoshua doing that, making that decision. So many people were nisbatel mipurvu, right? There were, as it were, fewer babies born, right? Good. But a couple's decision to push off tevila one night isn't necessarily a bitel puravu.
At least it's a
suffix. It's a suffix also. You're not going to have tashmish two nights in a row anyway. The next night's also a suffix, right?
But if she ovulated,
we don't know. Maybe she's going to ovulate then. Maybe she's going to ovulate the next night. She doesn't know when she's ovulating. So she should have. That's not the way we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about tashmish. You know this. Bezras Hashem, we'll talk about puravu, right? But puravu isn't mechayev tashmish every night. The shear is you can't be mevata alona.
In
Hanami,
that's already when she's tahori. You mechayev the level kolona v'ona.
So what's the mechayev of Leil Tefila be'etzem? We'll get there, Bezras Hashem. We have to appropriately address that question, we have to do the Sugya Puravu, and then we can go back to that question.
Chris, how do you read Kosar 9-8?
You're saying it sounds that way.
Yeah.
I hear. The answer is that... Bezras Hashem, we'll go back to that. I think we'll be in a better place. Maybe my initial reaction is wrong. I think that, but we'll get back to what that means. Let me do Puruvu. Yes.
One related question, which may be not the time for, related to Shmuel's question. Would we say, in such a she sees that Leil Tefila is going to be the first night of Pesach, and they're going to be with everybody, 45 years and years, and if she leaves during shul,
mm-hmm,
and comes back at the seder, she doesn't have makeup. She doesn't
have the
fluid. So let's say the option of pushing up is very, you know, drastic.
Right.
Next.
Yes.
And pushing forward, let's say, that's not an option yet. Let's say, like that. So what about being makeup on five days with your
connection? Maybe. Usually doesn't work. But, She can't get a half sektar on day four. But let's say, yeah, I could,
like,
I could hear being mako under such circumstances. Yeah, no worries. I definitely could hear being mako under such circumstances, if you could pull it off.
But I remember here once mentioned in Agav Kamet, he talked about for the Leil Seder that maybe the children in the close should think about opening La'achar HaSeder.
1 a.m. mikvah. Okay, no, I agree.
He mentioned that as a serious habit, you know.
No, it's not a bad idea. Mm-hmm. It is a very good idea.
12, 1 o'clock, whatever.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Why not? Okay, I mean, poor mikvah lady, right? Everybody else is washing their dishes. And
you don't have to wash it.
No, they can have it. It could be like a...
That's an interesting idea. Okay, maybe it's not a bad idea, right? That's one of the rayos, by the way, that it can't, like Lahasdir Tefilasa can't be a across the board rule, because nobody says that, you know, the mikvah lady at the very least is going to notice, right? Okay, when she comes out of the mikvah, she should encounter something tahor. Luckily, we have mikvah ladies who accomplish that, so we have nothing to worry about. Just make sure there's no mice running around in the mikvah that she sees before she sees the mikvah lady, or cats or dogs. Okay. Rechitza l'achar ha-tvila. So this din is quoted by the Ramah at the end of Simen Reish Aleph. The Gra over there disagrees. He says this is halach only for truma. But we're machmir that she shouldn't be rochetes lachar tefila. The question is, though, and this is a very common question, how long does she have to wait? And one reason why this question is a common question is because, you know, some women feel like, I just like bathed for an hour. I'm like as clean as I could ever be. Why would I want to take a shower? But other women are sometimes disturbed by the chloriney smell of the mikveh, and they want to shower as soon as they possibly can after going to the mikveh. So how long do they have to wait? So according to Rav Moshe, they have to wait until the following night. Rav Moshe, though, does acknowledge that an istanis could be mekel, because the chumra of the Ramah is a chumra to das yachad berishonim, we're noe kevase. In other words, the din of the Ramah does require, according to Rav Moshe's understanding, it's chilek beis simin tzadivav, it does require her to wait till the following night. And Rav Moshe writes that she should try to follow that halacha, but if she's an istanis, so lemaisa, this is a das yachad in rishonim, and you could be mekel if it would cause her tsar. The way he writes it is v'nimtza sha'af l'fi aminag yichol ha'isha litvol b'yom sheni v'shlishi imigi azman tfilasa v'lo tirchotz b'ambati rak osu hayom ulamachar tuchal lirchotz b'ambati v'chein b'zrikas ma'im sha'ala ha'nikra shower. Fine. Swimming pool. Okay, ayin sham. Rav Shechter, which is quoted in Rav Sobolovsky's book on page 309, says you should follow Rav Moshe. It is proper to be stringent for the view of the Ramah, who rules that a woman should not shower after the mikvah until the following nightfall. And he discusses this also in Ginos Egos. But in Ginos Egos, he basically just quotes Rav Moshe. Why in the world would you think you have to wait that long? What's the basis? The Ramah didn't say that. So, right, it sounds like from the Ramah that it's only miyad, and mochetz is miyad, it's, then it looks like the may mikvar and mitar. So Rav Moshe has a whole shtickle as to why he thinks that you have to wait so long. But many poskim disagree. You all have a little low losef, you shouldn't wash immediately afterwards. So what's the shir? So Rav Willig, as well as the Chut HaShani and the Shevet HaLevi, all are mako. The way Rabbi Willig puts it, it's on page 315 in Rabbi Shablovsky's Sefer, is a woman may shower following her tefillah once she has taken some action to indicate she's tahora. So if she comes home, she holds hands, or, I don't know, even passes something, I suppose, so that's enough, then she could go take a shower. Basically, it means, she shouldn't shower at the mikvah, but once she goes home and does something that shows she's muteres, then it's okay. That's what the Shevet HaLevi writes. Tzarech negia. Okay, the Chut HaShani is even more mekel. Shekshiyata me'amikva. That's what he writes. V'shir ha'isr lirchotz achar tefila tzarech iyun. V'nivash shekol she'enu ba'oso esek shel tefila muter. V'lachen me'kfar yata me'amikva muter lirchotz. According to Chut HaShani, see, let's say the husband isn't home. Right? Husband's not going to go home until 10:30 at night. She wants to take a shower at 7:30 at night. So according to Rabbi Willig and the Shevet HaLevi, maybe it still have to be Machmir. The Chut HaShani says, nah, give me a break. As long as she shows that the Esek of the mikvah is done. So they epis if she takes a shower at the mikvah, so then maybe it seems like the shower is accomplishing the Tahara. But if she goes home, she's done that Esek of the mikvah, and that is enough. Then she can take a shower once she gets home. Yes?
It might be so, meaning... Is there something, meaning if you're machmir against the Chut HaShani, would it have to be if the husband is present? Like, let's say she pushed their beds together or something.
Maybe, I hear. Not sure. There's no isser of beds being together when you're a nida, right? There's an isser on sleeping on the beds when the beds are together. So, but Kenzine, maybe you could argue that since Lamaisa, that's the act of pushing the, maybe.
In case where he's not coming, she could call him on the phone and say
to Rechib. Oh, to Rechib on the phone, good. I hear.
I hear.
Okay, maybe. Maybe that's coming from a single guy. I hear. Lamaisa, this is a din without a particularly strong makor. So I think, again, you know, if it doesn't really bother her, so she should wait. But showering in a way that wouldn't be effective for tefillah. That's what I think. These are the three shittos: Rav Moshe, Shevet Halevi, and the Chotash Sani. No, that's another eitzah. Okay.